Nick for Sonic Retro. I'm sitting here with guys from Sumo Digital. If you can introduce yourself, please.
Sure, no problem. I'm Steve Lyser. I'm executive producer. You may know me from such games of Sega and Sonic All-Stars Racing, Outrun, VT, basically anything with Sega. I've probably had my finger in it somewhere.
And I'm Tim Spencer. I'm one of the designers on Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed.
Excellent. Great. So, big announcement today is that we've got Knights and Riala in All-Stars Racing Transformed. Obviously, there was a bit of a campaign about that last year.
Really? I didn't notice.
No, I know, right? But now the new campaign starts here, because we've lost a flagman.
Oh, I wonder if we're going to recognise that. Yeah, I knew the second we showed it, we were going to ask who the flagman is this time. We have actually got someone in mind for this. We've got somebody picked for it. But I can't say who it is just yet.
Oh, right, okay.
It's somebody who's been requested a lot, that's all I can say.
That's good to know. I say, obviously, you guys have been quite good at putting in the fan references that don't get shown so much anymore. So, for example, Alex Kidd has been in Sega Superstars Tennis and Psycho Sega Superstars Racing. Yeah. We've got Vice from Skies of Arcadia into
the
game.
Yeah, man, and we tried so long to get Vice into a game. And you really, this time it's kind of made sense because we've got Land, Air, and Sea. When you think of Skies, you've got Air already there. And obviously Skies is big floating battleships. So you've kind of got boats as well.
Yeah.
So the car was the challenge for Vice. But like I said, we've tried to come in for like many, many games. And I'm sure if Travis out there listening, he'll be upset because he tried personally to get in. And he's since moved on. Travis now working for Rare. And this was going to be quite gutted he didn't get to work on it this time.
Ah, right.
What a shame. Enjoy Kinect Sports, Trav.
the request that I keep getting, I've been down with friends on the show floor, and the thing that I keep getting is, ask about Ristar.
Oh, God. Do you know, we get these constantly. We get Ristar, Vectorman, Sketch Turner, you name it, we get every single character that's for under the sun. Yeah. And it's insane because as much as we'd love to put every single character in the game, you know, we've got like only so much time and only so much budget. And I think we've done a better job with this game than we ever have with a kind of wide variety of cast. And even some of the players which are not longer playable from All-Stars Racing, we're going to represent in the game in a particular fashion, which will make sense down the line when we see it.
Excellent.
So don't rule it out, but at the same time, don't take it as a confirmation.
Okay, okay. It's one of the things I noticed when I was playing the game downstairs was that Panzer Dragoon, which might not have worked so well for providing a racer, provides an excellent basis for a course.
It's true, and you've said this before, haven't you, Tim? I mean, basically, the Land, Air, and Sea allows us to look at IPs we just couldn't look at before. You know, it didn't make sense to get Panzer Dragoon in a racing game because you're kind of ground-based. You know, you might see some stuff flying above you. And we did actually look at a Panzer Trike for the previous game. So, you know, again, that's kind of why we wanted to look at Vice in particular, because it kind of makes sense for this game. That's what we do.
But also with Panzer, it's one of those things where, you know, when you start making a game that's got flying in it and Sega games, instantly I sit there and go, Panzer Dragoon, it's got flying in it, it's flying, there's flying. If we've got cars, like, flying in this thing...
Flying cars.
Flying. What does everybody remember about stuff like that? Flying in Panzer Dragoon. So that track just was a very natural fit, I think, for our game.
Again, you know, it's just one of those IPs we wanted to do for a long time, and we finally got the chance to do it.
As the last game, you tried out Gilius Thunderhead from Golden Axe. Not only has he made it into the game, but you've got the track in there as well, which was...
Yeah, man, we wanted to do that. We were so desperate to do it. Especially... Day one, we kind of sat down and said, okay, so we've got Land, Air, and Sea in this game. You know, what really is sea when you talk about it? What is water? We made a big list of different kinds of water. You know, we've got like water, you can have oil, we can have slime, all that kind of stuff. And I said, we should have lava. And they're like, well, you can't race on lava. I went, you can't race on lava. He said, look, at the end of the day, you know, we've got cartoon characters in cars. We can do stuff which you wouldn't normally do in the real world. And I had a big, big, big fight with the art director at Sega about this because he's like, no, but lava's dangerous, it kills. I'm like, no, it's fine. And then of course, the thing was, and anyway, where would you set it? And I'm like, oh, I've got an idea for that. We'll put it in Golden Axe. You know, we'll put it in Death Adder's Lair around some kind of active volcano, very Austin Powers-ish.
I think that's what
we'll
I came to you.
Because
I came to you and I was saying, oh, yeah, there's this level called Dragon's Throat in Golden Axe.
Yeah, well, that's it. We're trying to pick names for the levels. So Dragon's Throat, obviously, that was full of lava. And we just went, okay, we'll take the inspiration there from Golden Axe too. But we'll set it, we'll call it Golden Axe. And then, of course, the other thing we had to get into that track, and you'll have seen it downstairs, is the character skeleton from the start of Golden Axe 1.
Yes,
that was always going in. As soon as we decided this level was there, the skeleton's going to be a key point.
I was going to say, I think I did the original brief for that one on that. It was like, first picture on our board of stuff was just the character select screens. That's going in. No matter what you do, that should be like the start line at least.
Yeah, and it's always that. You know, we try and pick the iconic stuff that people remember from the games, you know, because it's stuff we loved as kids. And just try and get it in there. Although, we've got a bunch of kids in at the moment doing some balance testing. And we really felt quite old when she, the first time she sat down, she was playing the game. She goes, I don't really get this. Why is this lava track called Golden Axe? What's he going to do with axes?
And we're like, dear.
Yeah. Man, yeah, it probably don't make sense to people who don't like Sega games.
Yeah. Well, living with people at the moment, I've had to explain to them who Alex Kidd is, so that's been...
Wow. And he's like Sega's original mascot as well.
Yeah, it's been a sad experience. I showed them the whole sequence from Sega Gaga where Alex Kidd explains how he was sort of kicked out in favour of Sonic.
And there's actually, in Altered Beast, there's actually a gravestone to Alex Kidd.
Oh, is there?
I don't know if have you seen that?
I haven't seen that.
Oh, I'll show you when I get back to the office.
Right. I should have to have a look at that. In terms of the course design, what have you found the most difficult to work with of the three racing modes?
All of them. No, to be fair, land, we think we've kind of got pretty sorted, because obviously we did Outrun 2, and SSR was kind of modified version of Outrun 2, basically. We kind of looked at that game as our, if Sega made a racing game, an arcade racing game, it would all be about drifts. And, you know, when we look at flight and we've looked at the water, we've tried to find games again we can reference. You know, you look at Sega, Panzer's one, some like Space Alien, maybe Afterburner, that kind of stuff, and they've got a very defined Sega flight handling model, so the flight came from that. Although we went through quite a few iterations, we tried it down splines, we tried it kind of free flight.
There was quite a lot on that kind of stuff, because it was a kind of like, well, we still are a racing game and we're trying to still be an arcade racing game. Flying doesn't tend to make an arcade racing game. It makes a great simulation racing game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, things like Skydrift and stuff like that. Mm. But it doesn't make an arcade racing game. So we did, we tried all sorts of that.
We went around the trees and, you know, we tried all sorts until we got to the point where now. I mean, what we found is when we did the prototype, we had a big, massed, open, wide environment. And you could pretty much fly where you wanted. It stopped being a race. So what we're trying to do now, although we still have kind of open environments, we try and put lots of points of reference into like canyon walls, you go through caves, or there's other stuff I can't talk about, so reveal some of the tracks. But, you know, you've always got some kind of like limit of the zone where you're in. Even if it's wide open air, there's still something which kind of blocks you in. Mm. And then the water, that was pretty tricky, because from a Sega game point of view, you know, unless you look at something like Wave Runner, there's not really been that much.
No,
so we've had to try and take inspiration from like a few games. You know, we look at something like Wave Race, for example. That did water very well. Even Hydro Fun, more recently, that did quite a good job of it as well.
I've been playing that this year, actually.
Yeah, but again, if you look at those games, I mean, Wave Race did it better than Hydro Fun. Hydro Fun is kind of strange, because there's a lot of water activity, but you don't end up reacting to the water.
No, you really don't.
And I think we've tried to push it a little bit further, that things will fall in water, it will create ripples, you'll get pushed around. You know, the boats will leave trails. But you have to dampen it a little bit, because when you're playing with weapons, you're bouncing around, you can't hit anything because you can't get an aim. So it's been quite challenging. And then each one of these things, tracks require kind of curvy things, sections, switch bikes, drifting zones, boost pads, things like that. Water, we tried a similar kind of thing by flooding tracks, but it just didn't work. You need a lot of space to be able to play. You don't need to put lots of tight corners in, because it's almost unnatural for a boat to do that kind of thing. And the flight, again, is a different kind of experience. Again, you need to have almost a contained environment, but quite a lot of space, because the planes are actually faster than the boats, which are then faster than the cars. So each one's different speed, so you're making tracks of different sizes for each bloody thing. So it's been a bit of a nightmare. But like I said, I mean, we did the interview downstairs, and I kind of said, look, hopefully when you play it, it feels natural and you'll never kind of question it. But getting it to get that kind of streamlined, smoother play has been quite a challenge for the team.
I think as well, in terms of like, it was definitely the water and the flight that were the two most difficult ones, because we'd already done SSR.
Yeah.
And it kind of went backwards and forwards between those two. Sometimes you play it and we'd
sort of thought...
The water was
better and the flight was
better. We'd go, right, we've sorted out the water now, we're okay with that. And then, you know, flight's really difficult, and we'd go and spend quite a lot of time on that and try a lot of things out. And then go, right, flight's kind of happy, but then we'd look back at the boats and go, nah, we're not too happy with that again. We'd work on that bit again. And so the pair of them sort of were always in competition with each other as to what was currently... which one was a problem, and eventually now I don't think either of them are a problem child too much.
No, we've got it sorted, and it's really difficult, because until you've got your handling model sorted, you can't really build trikes which are final, because any time the handling mode changes, the tracks have to change. So it's been a real challenge. That's been the hard bit.
Yeah, the handling and the weapons, because they feed on basically to every other part of the game that you do.
Yeah.
You know, various things from, you know, different types of game modes, different locations. All of that stuff has a huge knock-on effect. So, you know, if water handling suddenly completely changes, or you change it to the point where even just changing one camera by a small amount changes how the entire boat handles. We actually have a value which we call the magic number,
right.
which is just a value on the camera. It changes no stats on the boat at all, or even how the boat handles. All it does is change how much the camera lags on the actual boat.
And that really makes a huge difference.
And we've got the same on the plane. And it's like, if those things change, you suddenly find that things you'd done and set up previously
have all broken
and you've got to go and fix them. Or some of the stuff that wasn't very good previously now is actually fantastic.
It was with Sega Rally 3 when they did the difference between that and the home version and the arcade one. They fixed the camera in the arcade one behind the vehicle at all times, whereas there was drift allowed in the home version. It completely changed it for me. I went there and couldn't do anything.
I think you could switch it. There was an option in the camera menu.
In our version, the one we did, the Sega Rally Online arcades, you could change the setting.
Yeah.
Although I think for some reason Japan demanded we force it to the lock camera.
Ah, all right.
And that was kind of weird.
Yeah. Speaking of work you've done with Sega Amusements Europe products, obviously you did All Stars Racing Arcade.
Yeah, that was great.
I saw that at European Amusement and Gaming last year, and sort of I was really impressed by it.
You were at EAG last year.
I was.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't bump into me because I was there.
Ah, right. I was only there one day, unfortunately. But
all right. Cool.
Yeah, it was a good thing. One of the things I noticed, how difficult was that to fit on there? Because were using ring wide, weren't you?
Yeah, we were using the ring wide system. And, you know, it's been used in a few games. To cut a long story short, it's kind of a reasonably powerful PC with like an onboard graphics chip. We had to do quite a bit of optimization just to get the game, because what he wanted was to run it in high definition at 720p. And we had to optimise it quite a bit and look at some of the effects, because they used like lots of dedicated hardware. You know, our target spec PC was like actually much higher than the ring wide system was capable of. But we got it running at a fairly tidy frame rate, and we did quite a nice job. And you know, and fair play to Patrick Michael across at Sega Amusements. The guy did a fantastic job on it. And he basically sat down in the cab and said, okay, this is the first time we've done a proper outside of Japan game with all these kind of properties. Let's really push the boat out of the cabinet as well. So if you see the cab, it's like a disco.
It's crazy. It's great. I love it.
And you can basically, we discovered we could control the colour of the seats, the cabinet and the footwell all completely independently. So we did tricky things like, if you play the Sonic, we make the whole cab blue. You know, if you play Eggman, it's red and it's yellows and whites. And then we've got this crazy track sequence. If you see, it's like a disco. It's like literally colours run all the way along the cabs. And we've got two cabs in the office, and we leave them in the corner, but we're not allowed to turn the lights on. Because if you just leave it run, it just drives anybody who sits near it completely.
It's loud as well if you leave the sound on. I mean, it was quite funny, because when we were making it, like when Shep used to sit there, one of the programmers used to sit there, and all he just had was like a string of LEDs on his desk for months and months and months. And he programmed it all up to all work, and we're going, all right, so that'll be the top.
We're like Night Rider, you know, like lights when you want it to open.
And I'm like, so are we ever going to get any cabinets for this? And then I turned up one day, and they'd turned up, and he plugged it in and just uploaded it and stuck the disc in. Yeah. And it just went,
excellent.
Wow! With all this stuff, of course, you don't see it till you see it's actually in the cab.
Yeah, of course, because the wooden testing rigs they have are something rather different.
Oh, God, have you seen the test kits? like a wooden box on a table. And you're like, I'm going to work an arcade machine to get some arcade cabs. Because I went across to, when we were doing Sega Superstars Racing, Sonic and All-Stars Racing, not Sega Superstars Racing, that would be the work in progress title. We went across the AM2, I can't remember why. And they were working on Tokyo Drift, and their cabinet setup, they basically just have cabs in pieces, all working.
Sure.
Okay, no problem. And it's fascinating to go and see those guys working arcade cabs. It's very different to the European setups.
Definitely, yeah. One of the things I noticed with that, obviously you had to make considerations for the arcade, so the sort of smaller track selection.
I mean, the reason they do that is because when somebody puts a coin in, they basically want people to be playing the game within about 15 seconds.
Definitely, yeah.
And the bigger choice you give them, the more bewildering it is for the player. So we reduce the character roster, we reduce the track roster. We've talked with Patrick once or twice about maybe doing a track pack where it changes the available tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we tried to pick tracks which were easier for novices to play. Mm-hmm. So everybody who had to play in the arcade machine could at least have a good race and play for
it. Yeah. Do you think there's any chance of a transformed app being asked for?
Oh, God. Do you know, I would love to do it. We have so much fun doing the arcade version last time. I would absolutely, definitely love to do this. The big problem we'd have to get is, how would you control it? Because you can't put a steering wheel on it. Because you've got to be able to fly.
You'd have to put like a flight stick yoke on it where you push it forward.
No, I disagree. I mean, my stance at the moment is the original Atari Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
The 1984 wireframe one. I had a really great controller for that kind of stuff. And I'd love to see a modern version of that.
Can you imagine what the cab would look like as well? That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Imagine the hydraulics.
That would be quite something.
That'd be brilliant.
Okay, since we've been round to the end of our allotted time, thank you very much, guys.
No problem.
No worries.
And it's been great chatting with you.
No, great. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.